Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young. Nearly a quarter of the corn planted in the United States does not go to groceries or feedlots. It goes in our gas tanks as ethanol. Now, agriculture giant Syngenta has genetically engineered a new strain of corn to be grown specifically for ethanol, not for human consumption. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is about to decide how it should be regulated. And Living on Earth's Jessica Elise Smith reports concerns are cropping up about this genetically modified corn ending up in our food.
Heavy rains fall from dark gray clouds onto the seemingly endless rows of corn on Sikowski Farm in Hadley, Massachusetts. Joe Sikowski walks through the rows checking on his crops.
They say rain makes grain, and I think we're in the right place for that today.
Sikowski grew up among these cornfields, watching his grandfather, who started this farm in 1914.
I learned about farming at his knee, and I've always enjoyed it.
The corn grown on Sikowski's 300-acre farm is mostly for human consumption. But 24 million acres of U.S.-grown corn goes to ethanol production. Now Syngenta wants to introduce a genetically modified strain of corn for ethanol into this mix. That concerns Sikowski.
I think we really have to have a better understanding of what all this means and what effects it might have.
Sikowski sloshes to a nearby barn to get out of the rain. He's worried that pollen from genetically engineered corn could drift into his crops.
Most of the pollen from corn falls within 20 to 50 feet of where the tassel releases the pollen. Pollen stays pretty close to home, but with the right conditions, it can travel a little ways. It doesn't move that far, but it does travel.
Most scientists agree that pollen can drift. Ruth Hazard coordinates the University of Massachusetts Extension Vegetable Program.
It's usually viable about 24 hours, but with higher humidity and cooler temperatures, it could remain viable longer. With prevailing winds, it could move farther.
Hazard cites a University of Maine study that looked at the potential for pollen to drift from a genetically modified cornfield to a field of conventional corn. Researchers looked at two fields, 30 and 100 meters from the genetically modified cornfield. By the end of the two-year study, genetically modified plants were growing in both fields.
If you're talking expanding this into millions of acres where you have food crops and industrial crops next to each other, I think it'd be virtually impossible to avoid contamination of the food crops.
Syngenta declined to comment for this story, but some industry scientists say that this newly engineered corn has environmental benefits that outweigh the concern of drifting pollen. Dr. Michael Walk is a managing director of science and regulatory affairs at the Biotechnology Industry Organization. He says that Syngenta's new corn, which is scientifically referred to as Event 3272, is modified to tolerate heat, so less energy will be needed to produce ethanol.
This particular corn has in it an enzyme. It's a variety that continues to work well even as the reaction temperature goes up.
Walk says this enzyme makes producing ethanol more efficient because it cuts out the need to cool large amounts of water in the production process.
And we're talking about large volumes of liquid here when we make ethanol from starch. And therefore, if you don't have to do that, it saves a lot of electricity, and that converts to saving money, and that converts to making the ethanol a more carbon-neutral product.
Syngenta has petitioned the U.S. Department of Agriculture to grant this corn non-regulated status. Michael Gregoire, the deputy administrator of the USDA's Biotechnology Regulatory Services, says this status will make distribution of their corn easier.
And basically what non-regulated status means is that they're no longer subject to our regulatory restrictions or oversight, so they can be moved interstate or planted without any permit from the agency.
If Syngenta can show the new corn won't cause disease or injury to other plants, pose what's called a plant pest risk, Gregoire says it will win non-regulated status. And if the USDA gives Syngenta the green light, farmers will be able to grow this corn without restriction, making it the first non-regulated genetically modified crop grown in the U.S. solely for industrial purposes. This worries Dr. Jane Risler at the Union of Concerned Scientists. She's deputy director of the organization's Food and Environment Program. Risler says if Syngenta's corn is commercialized, it is inevitable that food corn will be contaminated, and this could lead to health problems.
We are concerned about the allergenicity of this enzyme. That is, will some people have an allergic reaction to this enzyme? It has never been in the food supply before, so we have no idea what the reaction of the general population or a subset of that would be.
Risler points out that food processors are also worried about the quality of their products if the new corn gets into the food supply. The enzymes in Syngenta's genetically engineered corn survive at very high temperatures, so they do not break down during baking and other food processing. So there could be consequences.
For example, cornstarch that is used to thicken pies that you buy in the grocery store, this enzyme would have survived the baking process and could break down the cornstarch, which is used to thicken the pie, could break it down to sugar. That means when you bought the pie, it would be watery, not thickened.
But Ristler's biggest concern is that non-regulated status for Syngenta's corn could set a bad precedent. She says that the USDA's recent public notice included a new take on what should be considered a plant pest. With this new interpretation, she says, most genetically engineered crops are no longer considered plant pests.
And this is a startling change from the past 22 years of regulation. A company developing a genetically engineered crop could go to the USDA and say, according to your new interpretation, this crop is not a plant pest and therefore is not subject to USDA oversight.
This change could have a profound effect on U.S. agriculture. Back in the soggy cornfield, farmer Joe Sikowski hasn't yet made up his mind about genetically modified corn, but wants more public discussion.
There's accelerating changes in our food supply. More crops are being genetically engineered or genetically modified. There's never really been an open discussion about what this means. It might be a change for the better. It might not.
The USDA has just wrapped up the public comment period on the proposed regulation of Syngenta's new corn. And all ears await the fate of Event 3272. For Living on Earth, I'm Jessica Elise Smith in Hadley, Massachusetts.